Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Matt Dennison here with you on this Thursday edition of the program, and Lee Kelly is back with me. We had some holidays that interfered in our radio time together on Thursdays, and Lee, I'm just glad to have you back. I know you were under the weather there for a few days also, so glad to have you back with us. We've got lots to talk about today. IU Northwestern last night, it was a win. That's about the best thing I think we can muster to say about last night's game, that Indiana did find a way in the final minutes of that game to come out on the victorious side. But lots of ugly moments, lots of concerning moments, and I think plenty of reason for some of the things that we've talked about this week with this team that continue to stand out as areas of concern or problem areas. Maybe those are even more underscored now after the lackluster performance last night. But, Lee, glad to have you with us. Jeff, New Albany week as well in basketball. I know that's always fun. And so lots to get to today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to be back on the show. It's good to be anywhere after the last couple of weeks. So appreciate everything, that all the comments and get well soon wishes from everybody. And, last night the masses are beginning to mount up, it seems like, and they really don't know who to be mad at. Mad at Archie, mad at the team, mad at whatever. They're just frustrated, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee Kelly with me in studio, Thursday edition of the show. We do this each weekday, 11 a.m. You can catch the replay at 3 o'clock. We're available as a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. And Lee, before we go any farther and before we talk more about IU's win, but still not very good performance last night, and before we get into some things with the New Albany Jeff game and series, I've mentioned some stuff really since his death occasionally here, a few tributes and a couple things, but we are working Friday night for the New Albany Jeff game to have a tribute to Charlie Jenkins, which is someone that obviously we all have known, we all consider a friend, we all have had opportunities to work with him at some point in our radio time, and I know you have known him for a number of years. And so when you listen to the New Albany Jeff game here on the Big X on Friday, and even if you're at the game and can't listen, we'll have these available on social media and online for people to hear. But we've really been working to collect some nice tributes to Charlie Jenkins from some in the area that worked with him, or maybe coaches in the area that were in their heyday when Charlie Jenkins was the play-by-play voice of sports in the area. And so as we gather all that, and both you and I will be part of that on Friday, just another opportunity, I think, with you here, someone that got to work with him, someone that, like me, considers him a big mentor in the radio world, just some thoughts on him, such a loss to our area. And when I think back to some of my early moments falling in love with sports here in the area and to listening to games on the radio, of course, you got to remind yourself that there was no social media. There was no Facebook or Twitter to get a scoring update. There was no video of any game. There was really no other way to find out what was going on Friday and Saturday nights except for Charlie Jenkins and his call of the game on 1450 AM. But I just thought it would be appropriate as we kind of continue to honor him. His funeral is set for tomorrow, and again, our tribute is set for the New Albany Jeff game on Friday night, to just open the mic and talk about our friendships and our memories of the great Charlie Jenkins.
Yeah, and Charlie was one of a kind, and I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of people doing high school sports in different cities around Indiana. And there's some some great people out there, classic people. Charlie Jenkins, I grew up as a high school student listening to him doing games, and I can tell you that when Charlie showed up to do a game at a school, people got excited. It was a big deal when WXVW Sports Microphones and Charlie Jenkins came to your school to do a game. And, you didn't necessarily listen to him if you were at the game, but you listened to him for away games. I followed the state tournament year after year with Charlie following him all the way to the championship game every year, even though many years we didn't have a team in it from the local area. But he's just such a classic gentleman. I remember the early years, Charlie would show up in coat and tie, suit and tie, dressed to the nines, and through the years maintained that. Not always a shirt and tie, but always dressed in a manner that, made him seem even more professional, if that's possible, than he actually was. And just everything he did was done in such a way that he just made you feel like that this man has it all together.
Yeah, he was a special person in our area. And, you think back, I can think back to being a kid. You maybe couldn't go to a game, or New Albany, in my case, was playing on the road. There was, if you couldn't be at the game, those were special times. I'm thinking back to the early 90s in my case. But if you couldn't be at the game, the next best thing was hearing Charlie on the radio. And as I became interested in radio and became in love with basketball, specifically here in our area, Charlie just had a way on the air, just some of his phrases and some of his sayings that even to this day we say and we think about and maybe even we mimic in his honor. But one of a kind, and again, we've missed him for a number of seasons now on the air, and we'll miss him obviously permanently now. But I wanted to open up today with that. I know he meant a lot to you, meant a lot to me. I can remember being a youngster on that New Albany catwalk, sitting with you and the WNAS crew, which I hope to be part of one day as a youngster going to elementary and middle school in New Albany. So I got to pay attention to you guys on my right and then kind of look down to my left in the spot that Charlie always set when he was there covering the games for the Big X, and kind of got the best of both worlds. So special person, and I don't even know what else to say other than we'll miss him, and I hope that if you don't tune in Friday night, maybe you're at the game, that you take a moment to find these tribute announcements from different folks. I think it'll be appreciated.
You know, we appreciate him certainly on this side of the river, Southern Indiana Sports and so on. But Charlie was well-known and certainly well-loved on the Louisville side of the river as well. I've got one story I've got to tell you, and it just shows you the love they had for him. We're at Mail. New Albany's playing Mail. And Charlie and I happened to pull in the parking lot at the same time and walked in together. And the guys from Mail, there must have been five or six of them standing there, and they was like, "Charlie, how you doing? How's everything going? You know, glad you're here tonight," and so on. Let us show you to our table. And he had his own table, and he had three or four chairs. He had all this space. And so I introduced myself at, WNAS, and these my students and I are here to broadcast. We'll see if you can find a spot somewhere to fit in. So that was the way it went. I told him afterwards, I said, "You are the God, man. I mean, they love you even over here." And he just started laughing. But that's the way it was. Everybody, I've never met a person that didn't like Charlie Jenkins.
Yeah.
And it was statewide. He was very active in the Broadcasters Association. They loved him. He knew everybody, and certainly missed. I miss those conversations we'd have before the games on Friday and Saturday.
Absolutely. Let's jump into the full show today. Today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have a quick look at our Zaxby headlines today, and we'll take a look back at some of the high points and, to be honest, a lot of low points from last night's Indiana victory over Northwestern. Segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He joins us each Thursday as we talk IU basketball, and we'll recap the Northwestern game. And then got to kind of jump ahead, Indiana and Ohio State on Saturday, so we'll talk that as well. And then later in the show. Lee and I'll be back to talk some about the New Albany Jeff game and get you set for that coming up as well. That's the show lineup. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Submit a question or a comment. It might get read on the air. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me there. And again, maybe your question, comment will get used today. Also on Facebook, the show has a Facebook page. Search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can leave us a message there as well. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. 66-62, Indiana a winner last night over Northwestern, who's at the very bottom of the Big Ten Conference. Indiana early on looked okay. They led by, I think, maybe 10 points or so in the first half. Things tightened up from that point forward, and to be honest, with 3-4 minutes left in the game, it looked like Indiana may not be successful on their home court in Bloomington. I think if you're going to talk about high points from the game last night, you've got to start with Trace Jackson Davis. He is a consistent player on this Indiana team, on a team that is not real consistent and on a team that has not been real good in a number of different statistical categories. He's kind of the shining light there. 21 points last night for Trey, 7 of 11 shooting. He knocked down 7 of 9 free throws. He pulled down 7 rebounds in the game, and he did all of that with just two turnovers, playing a lot of minutes. He logged 34 minutes last night for the Hoosiers. He has exceeded my expectations, and I think if you had told me early in the season or in the summer that Trace Jackson Davis would put these kind of numbers up basically against everyone that Indiana has played, I think I would have told you I think IU would be a little better than what they've been at this point, at least on paper. But if you're looking for positives from last night before we get into some of the negatives, Trace Jackson Davis, he continues to be a huge positive for this team.
And how lucky we are that he decided to go to IU, because if you look at that IU team and you take his numbers, his minutes and stats out, man, it could be a very bleak season to this point for IU. And he has exceeded. He's done a great job. I read a stat this morning that kind of surprised me. He has not taken a three-point shot. Hmm. And that was one of the areas that Archie had mentioned that he wanted to get him some looks, because at the next level – he will be playing where he will be expected to be able to shoot from the outside. The greater percentage of his shots have come right around the rim.
You know, through 4 Big Ten games, this is a freshman here, he is averaging 15.5 points a game, 7.5 rebounds a game, 2.3 blocks per team. That's big stuff for a freshman in the early part of the Big Ten Conference. And, again, I think that you can almost – there's been a lot this season and really in recent seasons with Indiana that you think, gosh, if that player could be – and I've said it time and time again, consistency. Gosh, if that player could just do half of what he did in a specific game on a regular basis, this team would be a lot better off. And then they disappear. Or maybe you see it a couple times and then, you know, Justin Smith's great performance goes away. Or whoever, Devontae Green scores 30 and then scores, you know, 11 and looks terrible. Consistency is key, and if there's one player on the roster that's been consistent so far, it's freshman Trace Jackson Davis.
And that's been very frustrating for me as a fan, not that he has been consistent, but the inconsistency of almost everybody else on the roster. You know, players that we have watched, Al Durham, we have watched since he was a freshman, and he's made mistakes along the way, but he's gotten better, and he's always given you 110%. Not every game anymore. I would love to know what's going on, as would many, many yes. other people. But Rob Phinisee, we've seen that young man lead this team and just be a driving force. And at times, I don't even recognize him when he's on the floor. Same with other players. Deron Davis, I just mentioned to you. Here's a young man that's played a lot. He's been a force inside. He's a giant individual and badly needed by IU, and yet 6-7 minutes a game is all we're seeing him at times. So I have no idea. I have no inside information. But like many other IU fans, it's frustrating to see what these players have done in the past and what they're doing now.
Yeah, no question. One other positive before we kind of go through a growing list of negatives with this team, Justin Smith, he had a very, very first half, not a good first half. I think he had 5 turnovers in the first half of play, but then he bounced back in the second half. He had 13 of the 18 points he scored in the second half, 6 rebounds, 3 steals as well. He was very important down the stretch in the win for Indiana last night, although judging from the first half, you may have not thought that he would have that type of effort in the game. As far as negatives, I thought that this Indiana team just played ugly basketball, and that's been, I think, consistent with this team so far this year. There's a way to play ugly basketball and win, and there's a way to play ugly basketball and not win, and Indiana has done both of those so far this season. The defense as well with Indiana, it just continues at times to be mind-boggling to me. It's the Big Ten Conference. You kind of have a pretty good assumption on how teams year in and year out are going to play and what type of defensive effort it takes to be successful in the conference. And it just seems like that there is an improvement. It's one thing if you struggle in a category or in an area, but you want to see some things get better. And with Indiana, when I look at the ball or when I look at the game on that side of things, I just don't see a lot of improvement in that. And when you think about Ohio State coming up next, when you think about some of the future games they're going to match up with in the Big Ten Conference, I think that obviously has to be one of the biggest concerns. But defense and shooting, some very fundamental things, big issues for this Indiana team this season, and they continue game after game after game.
Yeah, and we're at a point this season that you would think things would be improving, getting better, team playing more cohesively and so on. And I just don't see it. I had a guy ask me the other day, he said, do you know what kind of offense Archie runs? And I said, well, I really don't know enough about basketball to tell you, you know, what offense and so on. And he said, well, it looks to me like in the huddle, Archie says to one player, you run down and stand in the corner and don't move, and you 4 guys just dribble around until there's 3 seconds left on the shot clock and then throw it at the board somewhere. And I had to laugh, not that bad, but people are frustrated. I mean, there's a lot of IU fans out there that want nothing more than just a little bit of success on the basketball court.
And we've got Alex Bozich coming up in the next segment, so obviously we're going to jump into a lot more with IU Northwestern and even IU at Ohio State coming up on Saturday. One more quick thing I do want to get to, Lee, in this first segment, and I hate getting into innuendo and rumors. And I especially hate stuff that starts on social media, but there is the rumor out there. There is the thought out there, and some people want to act like maybe they know that more than what they truly do, that Bob Knight is going to return to Assembly Hall on Saturday when Indiana hosts Ohio State. Now, it would make a lot of sense because Coach Knight played, obviously, at Ohio State. Obviously, this is not the same Bob Knight going around wishing ill to the IU administrators. He's shown up at a couple alumni-type functions off campus. He showed up at a baseball game unexpectedly last year to take that in. He's living in Bloomington. We know he's not far from the university. Clearly, he's aging. Things change. We understand that. And I think that everyone would be just thrilled and shocked in many ways if and perhaps when he does make a return to Assembly Hall. But I know that we don't know. We sure don't have any inside info. But do you buy that? Do you think it's a possibility with some other changes we've seen in Coach Knight, maybe warming up a little bit to things, that he could make a surprise appearance on Saturday to that game? And if he did, can you imagine what the crowd would be like? Can you imagine what their feedback would be? I think it would just be a very special and unforgettable moment in Assembly Hall.
I don't know who Bobby listens to, and maybe there's nobody out there, but trying to predict his actions have proven to be very difficult through the years. And I'm not as big a Bobby Knight fan. I give him credit for the great things he did on the coaching sidelines, but I'm not as big a fan. If he came back to IU, that would be fine. If he never came back to IU, for me, I would be okay with that. For IU, I think it would mean a lot to his ex-players, to mend the fences and so on. I think they would feel more able to be a part of the program again. I think they feel like if they get involved in any way, it's a smash toward Coach Knight. But I think it's time to mend fences. As you say, he's getting up in years. If he's ever going to do it, now's probably the time. I'm sure the people that he holds in close regard have advised him, you know, if you're going to do this, you need to do it here pretty soon and get over all of the things of the past and let's mend fences and get on with it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if this truly is a rumor or if when we come on Monday we're talking about what I think would almost kind of be a pandemonium moment in Assembly Hall when he made his appearance, if that does happen. Those are Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's is home of the famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order with locations in Jeff and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk more IU and Northwestern after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And back with you on this Thursday program, a reminder that Skyline Chili of New Albany proud to present the Crosstown Showdown game between Jeffersonville and New Albany on Friday night. Tonight at Skyline in New Albany, it's New Albany Support Night from 5 to 8 p.m. You can drop by and visit with the coaches and the players and even some cheerleaders for the New Albany team, and a portion of the sales will support the New Albany Bulldogs and their athletic program. Jeffersonville was out on Tuesday as we gear up for the big rivalry game on Friday night. Lee Kelly is with me in studio. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he joins us as always on Thursday by phone. And Alex, I really don't know what else to say. Indiana wins. That's the best part of the evening last night, but it sure was not a pretty performance. And also not a very hopeful performance when you think about Ohio State coming to town on Saturday.
Yeah, it's tough to see light at the end of the tunnel sometimes with this team. And as you mentioned, even though they won the game last night, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence for the fan base that this team is going to be competitive the rest of the season when, you know, their first two Big Ten home games are against the two worst teams in the conference, and they need overtime to win one, and then they basically played less than probably 20 minutes of good basketball last night. They were able to get away with it because Northwestern only has 8 scholarship players. They're not very good. I mean, they've already taken 3 really bad home losses. So, you know, give them credit, I think, for figuring things out the last 10, 11 minutes and soldiering through and getting the win. But, you know, I listened to kind of your guys in the opening and talk about some of this team's issues. And, you know, it's hard to dispute, you know, anything that you guys brought up. It's basically a situation right now where, in many ways, Archie Miller is having to coach effort. And in year 3, midway through the season, you would think that the culture would be established, the expectation of how guys are supposed to prepare themselves and be ready to play would be established. And, you know, you can sit here and talk about, you know, the players and, you know, how, you know, certain guys maybe aren't playing well or doing this and that, but ultimately it's the coach's responsibility to get guys prepared to play and to get them to play, you know, at the level that they're capable of. And when you're not getting that with any consistency, I think the fan base now is starting to become frustrated with just the lackadaisical approach that they're seeing from this team. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't blame them because, you know, there's non-negotiables for any basketball team, and you shouldn't have to tell guys at this point of the season to play hard or to run back hard on defense or to not, you know, dribble into four guys with the ball and turn it over. I mean, those are basic things that, you know, you're taught from an early age when you're playing basketball not to do. So there's a disconnect somewhere. I was encouraged by the fact that down the stretch yesterday that he just kind of went with the guys that were actually engaged in the game. And, you know, in the press conference afterwards, you know, I asked him the first question and basically just said, you know, the effort, you've talked about it kind of coming and going, what needs to change. And basically he talked about the possibility of shortening the rotation. And I think that would be a welcome change for a lot of people who have watched some guys who, quite frankly, at this point have not earned minutes, continue to receive them on this team. So there's a lot to unpack here. You know, I do kind of wonder if the last 10, 11 minutes can be a turning point for this team just in terms of momentum and maybe playing, you know, against a really good Ohio State team on Saturday is going to get them kind of maybe back in the right mindset to compete. But there's just no predicting what you're going to get on a game-to-game basis right now, and I think that's the most frustrating things for fans to kind of digest.
Yeah, one of the frustrating things for me, and I mentioned it earlier, is players that have been with the program for a year or two, I've seen Al Durham play outstanding basketball and give it everything he's got. I'm sure the young man slept well at the end of the night. Or Deron Davis busting bodies inside, and Rob Phinisee leading the team. And I hardly recognize those guys compared to last year or 2 years ago in Durham's case. Just, you know, you wonder what in the heck is going on here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part to kind of pinpoint or explain, because we're not behind closed doors. We're not seeing practice. We don't know the dynamics of the team. We don't know if there's anything going on behind closed doors that would explain some of these things. But, you know, I think the biggest problem right now for Archie Miller is just the way the team looks. It's not the record. They're 12-3. I think at the beginning of the season, if you told people that Indiana would be 12-3 going to the Ohio State game, most people would have taken that. But it's the fact that, you know, you had a chance to beat an Arkansas team at home. You had a pretty nice lead in the second half and you completely collapsed. It's the fact that in your two Big Ten road games against Wisconsin and Maryland, which, you know, Maryland was taken to the wire at home, I think by Illinois in a Big Ten game early in the year. And then Illinois went to Wisconsin and won last night. So it's not like it's impossible to go to those places and compete. Indiana was down by 30 in both of those games. I mean, that's just hard for people to fathom. You know, it's one thing to go to those places and lose, you know, play well. I mean, I don't think anyone expected them to win at Wisconsin or Maryland, but, you know, go there, lose by 8 or 10, play relatively well. You know, that's nothing to hang your head about. But to be down by 30 twice, to me, suggests that something just isn't right. So, you know, I don't know what it is. If I had the answers, I'd love to tell you, but, you know, it's from watching it from up close last night, to me, Archie looked like a guy searching for answers and searching for guys that were going to kind of go out and execute what he wanted them to do. And just at this point of the season, it's hard to kind of grasp the concept of having to, you know, tell a guy to stay in front of their man when they're playing defense, or you shouldn't have to tell a guy to sprint back on defense. It's just basic things like that just kind of makes you wonder what the psychology this team is right now. And it just kind of seems like some things are fractured, and it's not to say that they can't change and get better, but right now it's in a pretty concerning place, I would say.
Alex, can we go through Devontae Green's line score here for just a moment? 1 point, 0 of 6 from the field, 0 of 2 from three, 1 of 2 from the free throw line. He did have 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 foul, and let's see here, no turnovers in the game. 20 minutes, mm-hmm. all that he logged in the contest last night. We've seen Devontae be really, really good. We've seen Devontae be really, really bad. You have to wonder what's going on right now.
Yeah, with him, you know, I don't even look at the points last night. I look at, if you go back and watch the beginning of the game, his man scored at least two or three times in the opening, you know, 5 or 6 minutes. And it was because he was not really guarding the guy. I mean, you know, the beginning of the game, they let Northwestern get comfortable. And when you just let guys beat you to a spot and get wherever they want to be on the court, you don't make people uncomfortable. And, you know, that's, you know, I coach some kids now in youth basketball, and that's the first thing I try to tell them on defense. It's like, make somebody uncomfortable, right? That's you want to let somebody know you're there. And those guys last night, especially Devontae Green, never really let the defense know he's there. I mean, he might have stayed in front of the guy, but the guy got an uncontested shot or the guy got an easy look. And I mean, this is year four of his career, and you just can't have that. And I think at the end of the game, Archie Miller was sending a message, you know what, if you're not going to kind of embrace the way we want to do things, then you can sit on the bench. Because if they're going to lose games, he's not going to be here next year anyway. So why not go with the guys that you can build something with for the future? And I think that's kind of where the crossroads now in many ways with Green. He either has to accept that this is the way things are going to be, or, you know, I think he could be one of the guys who is going to lose minutes. I'm not saying pull him completely out of the rotation, because the guard depth on this team doesn't really lend itself to being able to do that, but you just can't have a senior, you know, allowing a team like Northwestern, you know, their guards aren't supremely athletic or talented, and they were getting whatever they wanted, and I think that really kind of set the tone for them being able to stay in the game. So, you know, I don't have a problem with him scoring 1 point, but if you're not going to guard anybody, you can't play.
Yeah, no question. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest. Let's go to John from Charlestown. He submitted a question on Facebook. He wants to know, Alex, what's wrong with Rob, talking about Rob Phinisee, and your thoughts on him becoming the Rob that he was before the injuries last year? I know that might be a loaded question because from what I know, and it's nothing real clear, it sounds like Rob Phinisee's had a number of different injuries, maybe some minor, some not, to deal with this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one that's kind of uncertain in terms of just what's going on there. I mean, he's obviously healthy enough to play, I would think, or otherwise he wouldn't be out there. But he just doesn't look like he's in the flow of things from a, you know, just kind of, you know, when you get reps early in the season, you're kind of building up to, you know, you want to play your best in conference play. He didn't have any rhythm early in the season, and he never really built up any confidence. I mean, everyone can point back to the good games he had last year, but how many games this year has he actually played well in? Maybe a handful at most, two or three. There's not a lot of examples that you can point to where he's played really well. So it shouldn't be a shock that he's been unable to just kind of turn it on and be the Rob Phinisee that we saw at times last year. But, you know, I think he's making progress, albeit small. He was in there a little bit last night in that last stretch. I thought he made some good plays, some decisions. With him, too, it's not to me about the scoring, because when Indiana had its two best wins last year against Michigan State twice, he was a lockdown defender. And as much as we want to talk about this team not being able to shoot, I don't know that that's something they can fix. But what they can fix is their defense. And their defense right now is not real good. And until they, as individuals and as a team, kind of figure that out and figure out a way to put up more resistance, they're not going to beat good teams. So we can, you know, give the shooting stats, talk about that all day. I think the shooting is what it is right now. There could be some games where they catch fire and make some threes, but I think those are going to be few and far between. What they can control is their effort. And defense, to me, is a lot of effort and mindset. And, you know, the tone needs to be set. And Rob Phinisee is a guy that can help set that tone. And we'll see how he continues to progress. But in terms of what's wrong with him, you know, to me, it doesn't seem like he's hurt. But it just seems like, you know, missing out those early games and also missing a lot of practice time has kind of set him back in terms of just where he is in terms of his rhythm and being comfortable this year.
You know, one of the head scratchers for me is Jerome Hunter, and I know he set out for an entire year, but I also know in the early season games he had some pretty good looking games. But as the season has worn on, we're 15 games in now, and he's spending a whole lot more time sitting on the bench watching than he is out on the floor. He has not seemed to progress at all the first 15 games of this season.
Yeah, he's definitely struggling, too, I think, with confidence with his shot. His shots just look extremely off. I don't know how much that is just rust and not playing last year or just being afraid to make a mistake. But with him, I'll say that I think he's a guy you have to figure out a way to keep him in the rotation and playing, because unlike some of these other guys, Deron Davis, maybe even Demezi Anderson, who to me has not really shown much progress, I think Jerome Hunter's a guy that you can potentially build something with in the future. So you may have to live with some of these struggles with him. He's a young guy, his first year of college basketball. I think he plays hard. I think he tries to do the right things, but he's a freshman. He's playing in these types of situations really for the first time in his career. And, I think whatever they can do to kind of get him more confidence and make him more comfortable, I think is going to pay dividends in the future. He may never get to, the level that people had hoped for this season, but I think he's a building block for the future. I think he's got a really good attitude from what I've seen. He's always cheering on the bench. That's the one thing I like to watch during the games. You know, when guys are on the bench and things aren't going well and then things start happening and there's something to cheer about, who's on the bench cheering for their teammates? Who's being a good teammate? And he's always down there smiling. And you can't say the same for some of the other guys. So I think he's a guy that you want to keep engaged and keep trying to build confidence with, because I think down the line he's going to be a really good player for IU.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, always with us Thursdays. Final question. I want to go back to some listener questions, or at least one more before we let you go. This one comes from Hoosier Paul. He wants to know what's going on with the three-point shooting since Miller has been there. The three-point shooting is horrible. Guys come in as big-time shooters, and yet they all struggle. I think it's probably a question that we've asked before, but three-point shooting, and really shooting in general, Alex, continues to be an issue for this team.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a few explanations for it. It's either one, they don't emphasize it enough in terms of player development and working on it. I thought they would at least just become an average three-point shooting team this year. If they were, 150th or 200th in the country in three-point shooting percentage, that would be a pretty big step up. You know, the last five games, they looked at the percentage of 22.2%, and if you look – compare that, I think, to the full season stats, I think that would have to be near the bottom of college basketball. So it's not just, I know Archie Miller is kind of, hit back in terms of saying, these guys are actually can make shots, and he has to do that to protect his players. But at some points, the stats are what they are, and these guys aren't shooting well at all. So, I think it's something that has to be emphasized more from a development standpoint. And I think you have to recruit it. I mean, I don't know what you guys think about this, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, but, I'd rather see guys who are maybe a little bit more challenged in other areas. To me, the most basic skill in basketball is the most essential skill is being able to shoot. We saw with a guy like Nick Zeisloft, who was brought in by Tom Green, a guy who wasn't a great defender, but he could make shots, and he grew into a better defender. I think it's easier to make a guy who's a shooter and maybe a little limited on defense a better defender than it is a guy who just simply can't shoot a good shooter. I think it maybe has to be a little bit of a shift in terms of who they're looking at in recruiting. I know they recruit a certain type of kid for the pack line defense, but ultimately, you got to have guys who can put the ball in the bucket. I don't care how good your defense is, and it hasn't been very good this year, but if you can't score, you're not going to beat anybody. So those would be my thoughts on that. You know, the shooting has been, I think, a major disappointment and something that, that really has to improve going forward.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Always with us on Thursdays. You can read lots more about last night's narrow win over Northwestern at InsideTheHall.com. And, of course, another tough one and an interesting one coming up for Indiana on Saturday when they host Ohio State. Alex, prediction, Bob Knight in the hall Saturday. Is that just a glorified rumor, or do you think there's any truth to it?
I have no idea. I think if it was something that ever got out and it was made into a big ordeal, I think it would lessen the chances of it actually happening. So I think if it does ever happen, I think it's going to be a quiet thing and something where it's not made into a huge spectacle, because I just don't think that's what he would want it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, thanks. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, have a good day, guys.
We'll head to a commercial break, come back and talk a little New Albany Jeff, and a little more. I've had a few people send in their thoughts on Charlie Jenkins as well. We'll share those with you on the air. So if you've got a memory or thought of Charlie Jenkins, tweet me or send it to us on our Facebook page. We'll cover that as we wrap things up here in the next segment. We'll be back, final segment on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment here on this Thursday show. Lee Kelly is with me. And don't forget tonight at Skyline Chili in New Albany, located at 3505 Grantline Road, it's New Albany Support Night. You can support the Bulldogs from 5 to 8 p.m. Players, cheerleaders, and coaches will be there in advance of Friday night's rivalry game at the Doghouse between Jeff and New Albany. Jeff was out on Tuesday night, had some fans in there, and players got to get some of that great Skyline Chili food and get them all ready for the game on Friday night. So you can do the same tonight for New Albany. And if you stop in tonight, a percentage of the sales will go back to each of the schools. Jeff on Tuesday and, of course, New Albany on Thursday. This year's game, it's the Crosstown Showdown is how it's being billed by Skyline Chili of New Albany between Jeffersonville and New Albany. Lee, let's talk a little bit about the game. Both coaches will join me tonight on the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show, which will air later this evening, presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. The show will also air in advance of the Jeff-New Albany game tomorrow evening. A fun series, and really you got to look back at all-time records to see this is a rivalry that is truly that. It's not just two communities next to each other. It's not just two programs that have taken basketball serious now for a lot of years. It's not just two programs that have produced college-level players on and off for many years now. It's a very even and competitive series, which makes it even much more of a rivalry.
Yeah, I've got friends in other areas, other states, that they, when I tell them basketball is king in Indiana and so on, and you know it's the best state for basketball, and they kind of give me a little bit of a headache, and I say, you know, let me tell you, you call me when the high school you follow sells out the game and has it on pay-per-view to watch. You call me when that happens at your school, because I've seen it at the high school that I worked at. You know, it's one of those things. It's a very special rivalry, and the fans just get into it. It's a fun time. You know, and the good thing, I'm not sure we could have always said this, but it's a good rivalry, and there's good interaction between the two schools. Not always the case necessarily, but right now it's just a fun-filled night with a lot of good activity.
If you look at the breakdown of the series, again, so competitive over the years. New Albany, 83 wins in the series. Jeffersonville, 78 wins in the series. Of course, Jeff has had a couple victories here recently last year over New Albany, but then New Albany went on a tear in those Romeo years and was really able to add some wins to their total in this series. So yesterday I did this. I went through the all-time records and how many state championships and sectionals and so forth that everyone has had. And, you know, it really it's just amazing the success of the two programs. So Friday night when these guys renew their rivalry at the Doghouse, I know Jeff's the favorite. I know Jeff might have more of the top-level talent, at least the upperclassmen right now, but it still has the potential to be a really good game because history would tell us that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. These teams, when they get together, it's an old cliche, throw the records out and all that, but you really can do that with this game. These teams take it seriously. They know each other. They play against each other in AAU or maybe with each other in AAU in some cases, and it's just a big rivalry. It's a lot of fun. Fans get into it. And, you know, I hope fans come out to see this game. If they absolutely can't, it will be available here on WXVW. But there's nothing like being in the gym and watching these teams go at it.
Yeah, no question about it. A special night on Friday. Lee, we talked some earlier about Charlie Jenkins. We'll be remembering him, his funeral tomorrow at 11 o'clock. So Joe Glover of IU Southeast will fill in place of me in the show tomorrow so I can attend that funeral. But had a few people send him in. I want to read at least this one here in front of me. This is from Paula. She said, I could be wrong about this, but I think Charlie Jenkins is the one who called the 1973 New Albany State Championship game. I remember him saying, oh, there will be joy in the streets of New Albany tonight. And Lee, I'm sure that you can confirm that. In fact, I believe somewhere I have a tape of Charlie calling that game for WXVW many years ago.
Yeah, he was sitting just down the aisle from me. I happened to do that game. I did not do every year, but I did that game. But Charlie was there, did do the game. I'm sure Ted Throckmorton, although I can't remember exactly who was with him, but I'm sure Ted was there. And it just, he was one of a kind, as we've said all morning.
Well, Lee, thanks for being in with me today. Glad you're feeling well. Glad you're back with us. And Lee Kelly always in studio with me on Thursdays. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program again. Doug, what time tonight for the tip-off show?
You know, it's preempted by a program. I've got Chuck Oliver at 6, and then I think we got a Western Kentucky basketball game. But it'll be on Friday night, as usual.
Gotcha. So it's Friday night. You'll be able to catch that show with the coaches, both Coach Moore from Jeff and Coach Shannon of New Albany. It'll be available as a podcast later today if you want to check that out. That's going to wrap things up. Have a great Thursday. I'll be back with you, or I should say Joe Glover will be back with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.